The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. How many brought your Bibles with you? Amen. You need your Bibles when you come up in here. First Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. I want to stop right there. Now, I need you to listen to me very carefully today, because I believe that God has given me a fresh word to share with you. Amen. Many of you are struggling with your health. Many people are dying earlier than they need to die. And God has already promised that He will fulfill the days of the years of our lives. But you can't go against God. Amen. You got to work with Him and be in His will. Now here Paul says all things. Everybody see that? He didn't say some things or most things. All things are lawful for me. Now why are all things lawful for you? All things are lawful for you because in Christ Jesus you've been set free. Did you hear what I said? So all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Everything you do may not be expedient. Everything you do may not be constructive, but it's permissible. It's permissible. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Don't ever use your freedom, your liberty in Christ, as a cloak of maliciousness or as an excuse not to give God the very best you can give out of your life. Paul says, I won't be brought under the power of any of it. Even though all things are permissible for me, but all things are not helpful. And that's where the wisdom of God comes in. There are some things that are just not expedient. They're not constructive if you want to be all you can be in Christ. And the example Paul gives us in verse 13 is dealing with the way we eat. Somebody should say amen. Now, I've been to church all my life. One thing I know about church folk and Christians, they love to eat. Paul says, food for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. And today I want to begin a series. I don't know how long it's going to go yet, but I'm simply calling this, You Are What You Eat. Look at somebody and say to them, you are what you eat. Now listen to me very carefully. It all began in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying to him, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge and good, you shall not eat of it. For in the day you do, you shall surely die. Now, ever since Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind has been on a downward slide. Is that right? We've been on a downward slide. Our lifespans are short now. We don't live as long as people did from the beginning. Is that right? Oh, we're vulnerable to sickness and disease. Now, how many ever been sick in here than me? You see, we're vulnerable to sickness and disease. And to be in perfect health nowadays, that is the exception rather than the rule. Is that right? So God said to Adam, of every tree you may freely eat. But the tree in the middle of the garden, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says don't mess with it. For in the day you mess with that tree and you eat of that fruit, you're going to begin to be on a downward slide. Is that right? But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. How many hear what I'm saying? With his stripes, we are healed. Why do we need that promise from the prophet Isaiah? It's because of Adam and what he ate. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who him own self bore our own sins on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. This is why I tell you that healing is not a promise, it's a statement of fact. The prophet Isaiah says, you are healed. Peter said, in retrospect, you were healed. If you are healed and you were healed, guess what, beloved? You are healed. I know it's not proper grammar, but you is healed. Is that right? Now, here's what the enemy wants to do. Satan wants to steal your health. And he often uses the food we eat to destroy us. Is that right? That's what he did in the beginning. The serpent got Eve to eat. And Eve got Adam to eat. Is that right? And the rest is history. So sin and sickness begin in the earth as a result of eating. Are you still with me? And I'm here to tell you this morning, you are what you eat. Tell somebody else, you are what you eat. Beloved, it's important. It is important for us to eat the right foods to be healthy and fit. Both physically and spiritually. Now today I'm only going to deal with the physical perspective, the physical side of this. But how many want to be in good health? How many want to be physically fit? Then it's important to understand what you're eating. Now here's why I want to begin with this, by talking about the physical aspect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, probably beginning at verse 44, the Apostle Paul says, there is the natural body and there is the spiritual body. He says the first man, Adam, was a living being, in other words, a living soul. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit. He went on to say that the spiritual is not first, but afterward. First the natural, and then the spiritual. I don't want you to miss this. It's first the natural, and then the spiritual. Now, oftentimes, because we have the Spirit of God and because we are free in God, we feel like that all we got to do is have that spiritual walk with God, and that's all God requires of us. You know, God requires of you to keep a clean house. God requires of you to take out your garbage. See, that's natural. You can tell me what, Pastor, I've been praying in tongues all day, praying in the Spirit all day, read my Bible, and if I come by your house and I can hardly get through the door with because of all the clutter, come on, I look in your kitchen and the dishes are piled up, hello, garbage can overrunning, I'm telling you, you're missing it. It's first the natural, then the spiritual. And we got to make sure we're doing our natural responsibility to be the best we can with our spiritual responsibility and our spiritual gifts. Now, one thing I do, and I think about it every time I do it, every week I take out the trash at my house, put it in the cart, put the recyclables in the recycling cart, and roll them out to the curb so they can be picked up and emptied on the following morning. I do that. But I notice some of my neighbors don't do it every week. Let me tell you something about how important the natural is. When your house is filthy, when your house is filled with clutter, when you are doing the very thing to attract those spirits, how can you really drive them out? The Bible says that demons are unclean spirits, and they like to be around the unclean. So I'm telling you, it's important to take care of your business naturally if you want to be your very best spiritually. It's first the natural, then the spiritual. Now, if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, I want to show you the diet that God prescribed for human beings before the flood. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Now, here's the sixth day of creation. And what did God do on the sixth day? He created man. And after God created man, God is going to tell man what he can eat. And see, that's the problem. Many of us are not listening to God about what we should eat and what we should not eat. But in verse 29, and God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Look what God said to Adam, the first man. God says, I'm giving you vegetables to eat. I'm giving you fruit to eat. He says, if it bears seed, I'm giving you permission to eat it. Now, think about it for a moment here. How many have eaten seedless grapes other than me? How many have had a seedless orange other than me? The question is, how can a grape be a grape without a seed? How can an orange be an orange without a seed? Those are technology foods. And oftentimes we don't realize that, because God said the food would be good for us if it bore seed. The herbs would be good for us if they bore seeds. And we could eat of the fruit of the trees and eat of the trees that bore seed. So it's clear from Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, that the diet for human beings before Adam sinned, before the flood, was vegetarianism. I lost some of you already. You're looking at me like, you ain't messing with my meat. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Now this is after the flood. Remember Noah his wife and his sons and their wives were preserved during the flood. And God flooded the entire known earth with water. But he preserved Noah and his family in the ark of safety. Now the flood has receded. And Noah and his sons, his family, they come out of the ark. And I want you to hear what God says to them. Look at verse 9. So God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill all the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the air and all that move on the earth and on all the fish of the sea. They are given in your hand. Every moving thing and the lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. And that's what God gave to Adam in the beginning. Now God says, I'm giving you permission to eat meat. I don't want you to miss this. It was only after the flood that God gave man permission to eat meat. And the question is, why would God do that? Now, there's a couple of theories on this, but why would God do that? Why would God, after the flood, give man permission to eat meat? Well, remember, the flood flooded the entire known world at that time. And I believe, I'm going to give you two thoughts here, that God gave man permission to eat meat. Because in the post-flood world, man needed the protein from animal meat because the nutrients had been lost in the soil. Now the soil is now nutrient impoverished soil, and the climatic conditions have changed. It rains now after the flood, but it didn't rain prior to the flood. And God knows exactly what your body needs. And God was saying to man, there's something you need for your body that you had before the flood, but now it's been depleted in the soil. How many know that every plant, every herb, and every tree grows out of the soil? Amen. Now that it's been depleted out of the soil, I want to find another way to give your body the protein it needs. So I'm giving you permission to eat meat because of the nutrient impoverished soil. And the climate has changed. And the other possibility is right there, as we read in verse 3, God clearly wanted to say to man and emphasize that I am giving you dominion. I'm giving you dominion over everything that creeps on the earth. I'm giving you dominion over everything that moves on the earth. How many know if you get to eat that, then you have dominion over what you eat? Come on now. And he said that man would be the dread. He would cause dread for all the beasts of the field. Now, when you really think about this, even animals with a dangerous propensity, they're really afraid of you. And oftentimes they attack you because the way you reacted to them. In other words, they're reacting to your fear. And that's why they're chasing you, because you're running. They're reacting to your fear. Because God said that I will cause the dread of you to be upon every animal, every beast of the field. Now, in the food chain, whoever eats you have dominion over you. And God gave man dominion over all the creeping things and over all the things that move on the earth. Which simply means you're the one in charge. Amen. You're the one in charge. Amen. So before the flood, human beings were vegetarians. Now after the flood, they're meat eaters. You are what you eat, beloved. Many of us don't even realize what we're putting in our bodies. Have you ever walked down the food aisle of a grocery store and stopped to read the labels of some of the items you have purchased? You see, I haven't always known this. But I came to this understanding probably 15 years ago that technology foods were not really good for you. And most of the cereal we feed to our children, and I'm getting to the good part. Stay here. Don't get up and leave yet. Most of the cereal we feed to our children for breakfast, did you ever stop and read the labels? They got stuff in that product that you can't even pronounce. They got all kind of artificial colors, come on, and all kind of artificial ingredients that God never intended to be ingested or digested in the human body. Then we wonder why our kids act the way they do. Is it the refined sugar and so many of the products we feed our children? Then we wonder why I just don't feel like myself today. What did you eat for breakfast? You are what you eat. There are technology foods being sold to us because they can be sold to us where we think they're cheap or affordable, but the corporations are making a bonanza of profits on these things. What about the GMOs, the genetically modified foods, even genetically modified seed? And there are some farmers that refuse to plant a crop with genetically modified seed. And oftentimes we say, well, you need to eat organic food. Now, most people can't afford organic food. And the ones that they think they can, some of them have been duped. Everything that has the label on it organic isn't organic. And the best way you know you're eating organic is to plant it yourself. Now, I came up in a family where we ate organic food, because my daddy planted it in our garden. And my mother picked things out of the garden every day to cook for us to eat. And in the winter, she would have canned them. Hello, somebody. How many know about canning? Come on, she had canned them for the winter months. Huh? Now, that was organic. With no pesticides on that food. No chemicals. It was just pure food from the soil of the earth. Now, what is the real key? What is the real key? And some of you sit there and go, you know, what did I eat? What do I have on my shelf? Stop and read the label. And ask yourself, what is that? Now, you know, sometimes, you know, I ask my wife, why you always want to order a Sprite when you go out? You ain't never heard of Diet Coke. But you know what? Diet products are not good for your health. And if you said, I'm giving me a Big Mac and a Diet Coke because I want to lose some weight, No. Actually, the diet drink makes you gain weight because it sends a signal to your body saying, you need something else. Can you supersize that for me? And so my wife has taught me, you don't eat anything that's sugar-free. Don't eat anything that's diet anything, because it's not good for you. It's a technology food, and God did not design for technology to go inside of our digestive system, come on, our gastrointestinal processes. He didn't design for technology to be all up in there. So what is the key? What is the key to unlock good health? The idea of weight. How many have been there other than me? I weigh myself every Monday. Sometimes I swear that's Geller's line. So what is the key? What is the key to unlock the secret to good health? Your ideal weight. Longevity. How many want to live for a long time? What is the key to your vitality? The key is the Word of God. You got to get in the Word and see what God said about what you should and should not do. Is that right? Now, many of you may have the book that I purchased some years ago by Dr. Peter D. Adamo, you know, Eating Right for Your Types. And his advice is, you ought to eat a certain diet based on your blood type. Now, see, my type is O. I'm O positive. And so I was happy to hear what he had to say. He said, you need to eat a lot of meat. You are a hunter-gatherer. You're a meat eater. And I went on that diet, and I was just eating meat every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Meat, meat, meat. I lost 23 pounds in 1 month. And, you know, I thought I was doing something until I had my annual physical. And my physician, she said to me, she said, it may be working for your weight, but it's driving your cholesterol up. Wait a minute. So I'm missing something here. So Dr. Peter D'Annambo, he said, well, you need to eat meat if your blood type is O to achieve your ideal weight and health. Then he says, if your blood type is A, like my wife, then you need to eat a plant-based diet, like you need to eat more vegetables. And now that's true with my wife. She eats a lot of the vegetables. Then he says, if your blood type is B, then you need to eat more dairy. Hello, ice cream lovers.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.